From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this local and state news update. Through Friday, the Alaska Division of Elections says it has received more than 3,000 absentee ballots for the November 6th general election. Those voters would not have known that incumbent Governor Bill Walker was ending his reelection campaign, which he announced on Friday. Jerry Macbeth is a political science professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. He says the impact those absentee ballots will have on the governor's race is unclear.
So, in a really tight election, yes, the absentee ballots are going to make a difference, but I'm not thinking that this election race is going to be that tight.
He estimates absentee votes will account for less than 10% of the overall ballot count. Recent polls had shown Democrat Mark Begich and Independent Walker splitting the vote, giving Republican Mike Dunleavy a considerable advantage. Libertarian candidate Billy Towen is also running.
And so then the question is, what is going to happen to the votes that Walker and Millar otherwise would have gotten? And they won't break down the middle.
Ballots for the November 6th general election will still feature Bill Walker and former Lieutenant Governor Byron Millar, who resigned last week. Millar said he'd made inappropriate comments that put someone, quote, in a position of vulnerability, end quote. Walker threw his support behind Begich, saying the former U.S. senator has a better chance of beating Dunleavy. The Division of Elections said Monday any votes cast for a candidate on the ballot would be counted regardless of whether the candidate is still running. According to a division spokesperson, Samantha Miller, that means voters cannot re-vote after their absentee ballots have been received. And in other news, when oil prices sank 3 years ago, Alaska's economy went into the same direction, falling into a recession. And while recessions in other energy-dependent states have come and gone, Alaska's economy has yet to recover. Alaska Public Media's Abby Collins has more on one economist's look at why it's taking longer here and what Alaska can learn from other states.
Economist Muhsin Ghatabi set out to compare Alaska's recession to those of other energy-dependent states and how oil prices influence those states. Ghatabi works at the University of Alaska's Institute of Social and Economic Research. In a new report, he found that out of 13 historically energy-dependent states, 6 experienced economy-wide job loss as a result of oil price declines starting in 2014. Out of those,
only 2 of the 6 continue to be in a recession.
North Dakota and Alaska. According to Ghatabi, Alaska lost ground for 34 straight months, the longest recession in the state's history. In that time, the state has lost between 12 and 13,000 jobs. Ghatabi says while Alaska is not the only state in the country that relies on oil revenue, in Alaska, that reliance is on another level.
The ones that don't have a lot of oil revenue dependence seem to recover a little bit faster because, they only had that private channel dependence and their budgets were not struggling as much as ours.
Ghatabi says the state's decision to use permanent fund earnings to help pay for state government should help the economy in the future. According to Ghatabi, states that recovered faster also had industries that were still growing while the economy as a whole was in recession.
In Alaska, with the exception of healthcare and tourism, basically everything across the board was going down.
Ghatabi says going forward, it will be important to support other sectors of the economy to ensure they're less dependent on oil and gas. He looked at states where the economy has recovered. There, he found when oil prices started rising again, the economy reacted and grew faster than it has in Alaska. Larry Persily is a former federal pipeline coordinator in Alaska. He says the state will always be the last to come out of oil-driven recession.
Alaska is more heavily dependent on oil and gas than any of the other producing states, be it Oklahoma, North Dakota, Texas, Louisiana, California, New Mexico, the list goes on and on.
Persily says the state could take more steps to reduce that reliance, but so far that hasn't happened. He says the lessons to be learned here are painful.
As exhibited by the fact that Alaska could have learned the lesson over the past decades, but has chosen not to.
While the price of oil is up right now, Persily says it's inevitable it will dip again at some point. He points to income and sales taxes in other states that lessen dependence on oil prices.
It wouldn't hurt us to pay for the public services that we enjoy and not be so heavily reliant on fluctuation in global oil markets and production.
While Alaska's economy is not out of recession yet, there are some positive signs leading economists to believe it may be nearing the end. Whether the state will have a different experience if oil prices dip again is another question. In Anchorage, I'm Abby Collins.
And the 52nd annual Alaska Federation of Natives Convention has concluded in Anchorage. The event's last day saw high-level addresses from Alaska senators. But as Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, delegates were still reeling from the Friday news that Governor Bill Walker is suspending his re-election campaign.
Delivering her invocation, Reverend Shirley Lee referenced what a lot of people were talking about Saturday morning at the Dena'ina Convention Center, Walker departing the election.
Heavenly Father, yesterday we witnessed your most humble servant place service before self. May we all be like that servant.
Shakeups in the governor's race reached all the way to Iceland. That's where Senator Lisa Murkowski was for a conference on the Arctic, but the topic led her video address to the convention.
Wow, this has been a week.
Murkowski gave a brief overview of her legislative priorities on behalf of Alaska Natives in Washington. Her remarks returned repeatedly to a theme that dominated much of this year's AFN, how to reduce Alaska's high rates of violence against women.
Indigenous women have a fundamental human right to live without fear of assault in their lifetime.
Addressing a recent federal court ruling challenging the constitutionality of the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA, Murkowski says she's committed to protecting the law's status.
ICWA may be the most single significant piece of Indian legislation that Congress has passed. So know that we are not going down without a fight on this. I am in this with you, and we will work to ensure that our Native families remain together.
Her remarks were followed by Alaska's junior senator, Dan Sullivan. He highlighted his legislative efforts to bring more resources to survivors of sexual assault and his ongoing advocacy on behalf of Alaska veterans.
That the statistics, whether it's World War II or Korea or Vietnam or even the wars today, where Alaska Natives serve at higher rates in the military than any other ethnic group. What I like to refer to, as the Secretary mentioned, special patriotism.
The Secretary mentioned was Robert Wilkie, head of the Department of Veterans Affairs. It was Wilkie's first visit to Alaska since taking over the VA, though he told the audience about living in the state as a child.
When I come here now and see the astounding growth, the continued patriotism, and the beauty of this state, it is very obvious that America's future points to the north and to the west. So thank you very much.
Delegates passed a number of resolutions, but avoided weighing in on two controversial measures. There was no endorsement in the governor's race or a stance taken by the body on ballot measure one. Next year's AFN will be in Fairbanks. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
And Alaska's largest labor organization is supporting Democrat Mark Begich for governor. The Alaska AFL-CIO in August endorsed Governor Bill Walker's re-election bid, but Walker and Independent announced Friday that he was ending his campaign. The Alaska AFL-CIO's president says the organization will dig in with every ounce of energy to help Begich defeat Republican Mike Dunleavy. Dunleavy on Monday said he'd been endorsed by Republican U.S. Representative Don Young and Republican U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan. And residents of towns near Fairbanks have been talking to state officials about possible arsenic contamination of private wells where they live. The Fairbanks News Miner reports that residents of Goldstream, Esther, Two Rivers, Murphy Dome, and other areas have talked about their concerns in recent weeks with officials from the State Department of Health and the University of Alaska Fairbanks Cooperative Extension. And the weather for today, rain is expected, highs around 50. You're listening to KTOO. For more news and information, you can visit our website, ktoo.org.